You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking about another theme in the child-centered approach and how to identify it, specifically from the family and nurturing themes category. Last week, we talked about the constancy and permanence theme. So today we are talking about separation theme. So this is actually something you'll see pretty consistently, and specifically with kids that have relational strife. So divorce, separation, attachment, bond, anything like that, you'll see separation play out pretty consistently. So separation play specifically is whenever someone in the play leaves or separates from someone else in the play. So it's almost always when they've identified characters through their play. So they might say, this is the mom, and this is the dad, and this is the brother, and this is the sister, and this is the dog. So you almost always have an explanation of who is who. And the child then will say, okay, honey, I have to go shopping now. And the mom will leave, and mom goes shopping, or dad goes out to mow the grass, or mom has to go to work, or dad has to go to work. So there's almost always an explanation for why the family member is leaving and the child is left behind. That is the very important thing, because it's one thing if the mom says, I have to go to work, get in the car. That's a very different scenario, and that's not separation play. So the specific nature of this is that the child or the archetype, so if you don't remember what an archetype is, that's the figure that the child uses to represent themselves in their play. So if it's the archetype being left behind and or the child character that they've identified, that is separation play, as well as a character moving away. So sometimes you'll see it manifest itself in their moving. So all of a sudden they up and move to a different house, or they up and leave and no one knows where they went. So in my room specifically, I have the dollhouse, and then I have like a Fisher Price castle, and then I have a Fisher Price tree fort kind of. It's like a Robin Hood thing. So, you know, like trees and little places to hide and whatever. So sometimes kids will have all of this scenario taking place in the house, and then they grab the castle, and then they grab the treehouse. And so these become new locations. And so a character will leave the house and no one else knows where they went, but they went over to the castle or they went over to the treehouse. So that moving away is also part of separation play. So here's what that might mean for the child. So if you can identify separation play, it's helpful to understand why the child might be doing that. So first, oftentimes they're playing out actual separation. So the child goes back and forth between houses, or there's been a recent separation or a recent divorce, or they don't get to see someone in their family often. So anytime there has been an actual physical separation relationally within the child's life, they will sometimes play that out. Another option is if there has been any kind of traumatic separation where, you know, it was really contentious, it was really abrupt, it was really out of the blue, they had no warning, they had no anticipation. So if there was a level of trauma, they will actually reenact that again and again to desensitize themselves to it. So they're still playing out an actual separation, but if there's any kind of traumatic element or deeply rooted emotional element there, it's actually to take away the sting and the depth of the emotion. So the more you play something out, the less overwhelming it is and the less your emotions impact you. So it's almost like a reenact so that I can desensitize type of approach there. And then also, if there has not been separation, so sometimes kids will come in and play separation play and they have an intact family. And then, you know, you're kind of left going, well, hold on, what could you possibly be playing out separation if your whole family lives together and they've never gone anywhere? oftentimes you will see kids play out separation play if there's any kind of anxious attachment to the parent or caregiver. So if they really desperately need and want to be around their caregiving or parenting figures at any given moment, they then want to be able to control who leaves and who moves away and who stays. So they will play out getting to control who goes where and when and who moves and who doesn't and who leaves and who doesn't. So that anxious attachment issue can also manifest itself in separation play. And the only other time that you might see it, it's not really that common, I don't think, but every once in a while you get a kid that sees separation from a loved one as a punishment. So if they have an association with not being able to be around someone that they love, and therefore that's a punishment of sorts, they will play that out as almost a consequence for bad behavior. That doesn't happen often, but I've seen it a handful of times, so I feel like I should throw that in just in case you come across that. But for the most part, you're going to be one of those first three meanings to the child if you see separation play. Now, there's theoretically a separate play theme that can also come up, which is reunion play. But I'm actually going to fuse this into the separation because you almost always see reunion after separation. You typically don't see, I mean, it's kind of impossible, right? Like, how do you reunite when you were never separated in the first place? So reunion play is its own theme, but it really only comes in conjunction with separation play. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw that in. I hope you understand why and don't feel like I needed a separate episode for it. If you want a separate episode, you're going to have to email me and I'll consider it. But so reunion play is really, they had the separation and now they're reunifying, right? And so you have separation or that individuation first, and then you have a reenactment of reunion. So you can see how those would go together, which is why I'm kind of throwing them in. Oftentimes kids will play reunion play on the heels of separation play, and it's because they actually really want to reunite with someone. So, hey, you know, dad moved out and I only get to see him every other weekend, and I really wish that I could see him more. So I play out separating, and then that allows me to play out reunion play. So it kind of is like means to an end often. Separation leads to reunion. Another option is, again, the attachment type of scenarios. So separation and reunion sequences are sometimes about attachment. It's almost like I need to be okay with not being around my loved ones at all times. So I'm going to force myself to separate so that I can reunite. And then I realize that it's going to be okay in either scenario. So super highly anxiously attached kids will play out the separation, reunification again and again and again. And again, it's a little bit of a desensitization. And anytime a child has been reunited with a loved one, caregiver, family member, they might reenact that to process their feelings about it too. So I've seen kids that, you know, their parent lived out of state for a while, finally came back to Florida, they finally get to see them again, and they will play out that reunion again and again and again because they weren't really sure how they felt. I mean, imagine, there's a lot of mixed emotions, right? So sometimes you just have to play it over again and again to kind of see where you land and what you think about it. So technically, separation and reunion are unique, but as you can see, they're very closely tied together. So I hope you forgive me for combining them because I feel like that's easier than trying to do those individually. So we're still in family and nurturing themes. So keep in mind when if you see separation or reunion play, you're still in that broad category and they usually go together. You don't have to see them together, but if you see reunion, it almost always comes on the heels of separation. So, all right, that is your theme for the week, or I guess in this case, two themes for the week. So I hope that that's helpful. I hope as you see these themes start to emerge that your brain goes, oh yeah, okay, I know what that is now. And again, you know, we always circle back to why, right? So I can give you themes all day long, but if you don't understand the why we're identifying themes, it kind of misses the point. Your understanding of themes is your biggest influence for what you share with parents when you meet with them for consultations. You have to be able to identify what the child is working on, why the child is working on that, and therefore the progress and the shifts that are taking place in play so that parents understand the work that's being done. So it's not enough to just say, oh, I recognize that as separation play, right? We have to then be able to articulate that to parents in our consultations, why the child is playing that out, what it looks like, what the shifts are, what the movements are, and why that matters. So please frame all of this. Every time I cover a theme with you, it's yes, of course, it's for your own professional development, and you need to be able to recognize a theme as you see it in the playroom. But then you take that information and you share it with parents. That's actually the bigger root of why this is important. So hope that's helpful. Thanks for your time. Thanks for spending a little bit of your week with me. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.